Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this beautiful Palm Sunday. There's so much that you can cover on a Palm Sunday reading that it's hard to even imagine where to begin. What complicates that is the fact that we basically cover this entire story every single week, because every Sunday is a little Easter, and Palm Sunday is no less Easter than an Easter is. He is, never mind, next week. Every Easter Sunday, though, we talk about three things in a Christian sermon. And if you don't hear these three things in the sermon, I've failed. If you go someplace else and they don't talk about these three things, they fail too. Don't forget to come back. Every Christian sermon starts with these three facts. You are a sinner. And because you are a sinner, you are deserving of death. Because the wages of sin is death. Point two. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So yes, you are a sinner. Yes, you deserve death. But Jesus himself has died for you to pay for your sins. You are no longer under the condemnation of that sin, your sin. You're freed of that sin. And number three, God the Father has accepted the sacrifice of Jesus on your behalf. And God has raised his son from the dead as a down payment on the resurrection of all flesh, which means you are a redeemed child of God. You have been bought back from sin, death, and hell. You are baptized, catechized, fed, nourished, a holy priest, a high priest of God, a holy nation. Do not doubt that. Do not doubt your Lord and Savior. Do not doubt his power. Do not doubt his love for you. Do not doubt that the Lord God has done these things for you. If you ever hear a Christian sermon that doesn't have all three of those points, they failed. Because this is what we preach. Now, that all being said, that doesn't mean you don't have enemies. You will be tested. We read in our lessons this morning that Peter was tested. So was Judas. Peter succeeded where Judas was lost. What was the difference? Was their sorrow different? I don't think so. You might could make a pretty good argument that their repentance was certainly different. But they were definitely both sorrowful. Peter may be more so. And even though Matthew doesn't need to drag him through the mud, we read from the other Gospels that John was there with him as well. Peter, what Peter does has been witnessed by one of the other disciples. What Judas does is related to us later by the gift of the Holy Spirit. And still, Judas is sorrowful. He readily admits that what he did was wrong. He goes back to the chief priest and the high priest and readily admits that he has betrayed innocent blood. And his confession before the priest, he tosses back the money, and the priest's response, tough luck, buddy. You sinned. It's your sin. You deal with it. Doesn't seem very priestly, does it? The problem is Judas doesn't deal with it. You see, Judas doesn't know how to deal with it. Judas doesn't understand what's going on. He doesn't think about it. He doesn't know what to do. Whereas Peter may not understand the entire depth of what's going on with Jesus upon a cross. But Peter, in his sin, surrounds himself with friends and community and church. Judas goes it alone, eventually killing himself, which is an evil death, just absolutely an evil death. We talked about that ever so briefly in January with our bioethics study. Suicide, or the unlifing of yourself, is an evil death. It is immoral, it is selfish, and it is wrong on every count. Hardly done by anybody of a stable mind. But then again, who could be called of a stable mind nowadays? I mean, we basically live in a clown world where men become women and women become men. People can become cats. Mental health has become a joke. It's not getting better, by the way. It's going to get worse. I fear it's actually going to get far worse. But thanks be unto you. Thanks be unto God for you. For you are indeed the community of Christ. You are indeed the church of God. You are the communion of saints. And you have been grounded in that word of God. You have been grounded in that word of hope. You've been grounded in that word of truth and purity. You have been grounded in that support. And don't doubt that. Don't doubt the power of what you have been given by the Lord God Almighty, that He has assembled you into a grouping. He has assembled you into His family. He has assembled you into church for mutual love and support, for the reading of God's word. You've been grounded in that truth, and not a truth that it's true insofar as you wish it to be true, but grounded in the truth and the reality of the love of God. And so I call on you to get out there. Get out there into the world filled with craziness, absolute craziness, and take your worldview with you. Now, I'm not necessarily calling you or sending you out to be culture warriors. Don't all of you go out and put together your own TikTok channels. I don't think that's necessary. I mean, but you know better than I do who you can affect and how you can affect them with the truth and the love of God in your life and in theirs. And Satan is still going to try to sift you like flour. Satan and the world is still going to be your enemy about it. I mean, Satan tries to sift Peter as well. And Peter failed. Peter failed. He's got all of this bravado. He's like, even if all these other derps leave you, I will not. I'll die with you. The push comes to shove, and he's like, I don't know. I mean, he failed. And you know what? That's okay. And we're going to fail too. Sometimes, you know, it's just easier to keep your mouth shut. But maybe not always. Not in every place, not in every time. Let us not bury our heads in the sand. Life has a rhythm. It has a point. The law convicts us of our sins. But it's also a guide. The law is a very good guide. And it's a pretty reliable guide about how we're going to live our life. And any deviation from God's law is going to cause pain. And that pain, that deviation from God's law, from the way that God would have it, that pain's going to be all sorts of things. It can go from a momentary embarrassment to becoming public pariah. Deviation from moral, public, or cultural norms doesn't make us cool. It doesn't make us edgy. It doesn't make us modern. It simply makes us human. And sin brings pain. And sin doesn't just bring pain to me, it brings pain to everybody around me. My sin brings suffering. It brings suffering to me, it brings suffering to those around me, to my friends, my Romans, and my countrymen. My children will suffer from my divorce. I'm not getting a divorce, by the way, just because Stephanie's back there. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm not getting a divorce. But if I were, my wife would suffer, I would suffer, my children would suffer, my grandchildren would suffer. They're all going to suffer in this that I have chosen to do. My children will suffer in my alcoholism, and so will my community. They will suffer if I get fired from my job for being poor at my job. My children will suffer when I transition to a plant-based life form. Luke chapter 22, verse 23. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And then Jesus says, when you've turned again, strengthen your brothers. We're going to fail. And that's okay. And when we do, we return unto the Lord God and we strengthen our friends and our neighbors through it. Pray for your friends. Strengthen them. And I don't just mean pray for them, pray with them, strengthen them, hold their hands and pray with them. Pray for your enemies, your adversaries, your frenemies. Pray with them, send them word. Write to them, explain to them your thoughts. Make your case for the hope that you have. Pray with your children, pray for your children, pray with your children, pray with your grandchildren and your spouse. Write letters to those who are far away with old-fashioned pen and ink. Use the power of the word to make a defense of the hope that you have. Because it's not a hope that everyone has. Long gone are the days when we go, well, I can't explain my faith to anybody because everybody knows what I believe. I don't think they do. They might think they do, but I don't think they do. He is, well, I'll say it next week. He is almost risen. Your Lord God lives. This week we confess that we are sinners, and because of that, God has sent His only Son to live and to die for our sins, and that whoever believes in Him should not die but have eternal life. And the God, the Father, has accepted that sacrifice of Jesus, and He has risen Him up from the dead as a down payment upon your resurrection from the dead as well. For you too are a redeemed child of God, baptized, catechized, fed, nourished with the very body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a holy nation, a royal priesthood in the service of the Lord God in a darkened and broken world. Go forth. In the words of our Lord. Amen.